Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
That they could chart their own destiny, and that together they could light up the entire world.
Well, hello, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Thank you for joining me for Praying for America. We're happy to partner with Right Side Broadcasting on this effort. And, some good encouraging words from President Trump the other day that I want to share with you, and also prayers for our nation are much needed, both what's going on domestically and internationally. Let's take our cue from the Word of God tonight with St. Paul's letter to the Philippians to guide us. I want to go to chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Dismiss all anxiety from your minds. In everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the God of peace will be with you. That's a marvelous setting for our prayer. Thanksgiving, freedom from anxiety, peace, and joy. I wrote a special prayer for Americans in a time of anxiety and would like to pray that with you now and for you as well. Deliver us, O Lord, from every evil and grant us peace in our day. In your mercy, keep us free from sin and protect us from all anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we face threats from our enemies, we turn our face to you for deliverance. You are mighty, O Lord, and you are able to deliver us from all the plotting of evil people. As your people, O Lord, we are not afraid to face the truth of the threats that surround us. We know they are there, and we do not find our peace by pretending that they aren't. Yet we, your people, are able to see a larger truth. We are able to see the truth that you alone are God, and that all the earth is in your hands. The winds, the waves, and the paths of the human heart are under your sovereign control, O God. You allow us, Lord, to live in the shadow of death, but you also allow us to know that you have conquered death by the resurrection of your Son. You allow us, O God, to experience anxiety, but you also allow us to know that peace which surpasses all understanding, peace which the world cannot give and which no one can take away. You allow us, O God, to be tested, but you also allow us to triumph. You alone are God. In you alone, we are bold enough to say to those who hate us, we are not afraid of you or your co-conspirators. We are Americans and we are Christians. We have been through the fire before. The flag still flies and the cross still stands. Secure in the shadow of both, we will neither be afraid nor distracted. We will serve our God. We will live our lives. We will love our country. And long after you and your plans are gone and forgotten, we will stand and still be celebrating our freedom and proclaiming the glorious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Well, friends, as we have this time together tonight and we pray for America, we want to pray for you. So leave your prayer intentions in the comments as we are going through this program. And I invite all of you to include everybody else who's in the viewing audience, and even those who will come later and view it in its recorded mode. Lift up those intentions to the Lord in prayer so that we're all praying one for another. Well, you know, we know that we've got just so many distressing things going on under this Biden administration. Did you see the quid pro quo that came out the other day? You know, this guy is really good at quid pro quo. The Democrats wanted to, you know, with their false, fake hoax, impeachment hoaxes against President Trump, try to take a perfectly good phone call that he made and try to accuse him of quid pro quo, which there was no such thing. He was asking about some questionable activity of the Bidens, but it was not in any way made to affect military assistance of equipment that we were providing for the Ukraine. Not in any way, shape, or form was the one dependent upon the other. There was no quid pro quo. That was thoroughly debunked, another lie of the Democrats. But at the same time, it had already been clear, and it was on tape and everything, what Biden had done in the past with quid pro quo when he was vice president. And now a new one on his part has come to light in regard to Afghanistan. His conversations with the former president there, saying that he should lie and present the situation on the ground as better than it was. Because after all, we have to be concerned about the optics and whether it's true or not, whether it's accurate or not. That didn't matter to Biden. Let's just present it as better than it is. Oh, and then we'll provide you some assistance. You know, brothers and sisters, the double standard on the part of the leadership in the Democrat Party is on full display here. Absolutely full display. You have not one, but two very clear instances of Biden doing quid pro quos with foreign government leaders. And put your hand to your ear and listen to the silence coming from the other side. Nothing. The people that were complaining against President Trump, oh, the quid pro quo, which they were making up in their imagination, these very same people say nothing when the evidence is absolutely indisputable. It's a hypocrisy beyond belief. And this has to inform our prayer for America, because we need to pray, you know, Lord, give us leadership here. Give us strong leadership, and also give us a sense of honesty, that there's no, objective accountability here anymore. We're taking presidents who are innocent of any wrongdoing and subjecting them to fake impeachments. And in the meantime, when our government officials do something wrong, the very same people are quiet. Give them a pass. Anything goes. It's outrageous. In fact, let's pause here right now and pray about this. Father, we come before you begging for leadership in the United States of America, begging for leadership. Because, Lord, what we see all around us is this double standard of politically persecuting those that we disagree with, and then giving a pass to those who happen to be in favor. Lord, we ask you to bring about in this nation and in our elected representatives more of a sense of justice, of true justice, more of a purity of intention, Lord, that they don't use their power simply for political ends, but rather with a pure intention, use it to encourage goodness, and to thwart wickedness. Because this is where your word directs us, O God. And this is what your word calls for, to judge justly, that the rulers of the earth would take their example and their inspiration from you, O Lord, and not follow their selfish inclinations. Strengthen our leadership, Lord, and convert those that need to be converted, and bring us strong leaders in the future. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, friends, we also want to pray tonight for those who have experienced the effects of Hurricane Ida. We have been praying for those individuals, but as we saw, you know, the effects of this hurricane were not just in the southern states. It reached all the way well into the Northeast and into New York with all the flooding New Jersey and other places. The whole path of this hurricane affected millions of people, and we want to pray for all those who have been affected. Lives lost, of course, and we pray consolation for their families and people who have been injured, and also just people who have been distressed over this whole thing and perhaps very seriously inconvenienced and experienced damage to property. So let's lift up all of them, and many of whom some of you may know. Let's lift up all of them now. Lord, we ask you, send your spirit of peace and of healing upon America, upon our fellow citizens who have been in the path of this storm. Lord, the winds and the waves you calmed during your earthly ministry. You are the Lord of the earth and sea and sky. And Lord, when you allow us to experience the devastating effects of weather, we take refuge in you. We know that you have our lives, our care in your heart. We ask you, Lord, that we may continue to be protected by you, and that those who have experienced this damage may take refuge in you more than ever before and find consolation in your spirit and help from your people. May we rise to the occasion, Lord, anything that we can do for our brothers and sisters who have been affected by this hurricane. Let us do it. Give us the strength to do it. Show us how to do it, that we may assist each other to continue with peaceful and productive lives in your service and in the service of one another, you who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, I had the chance to have a conversation together with some other faith leaders with President Donald Trump recently. And I tell you, it's always such an encouragement to hear from him. He has such a deep respect for people of faith and for faith leaders. Nobody has done more, nobody in government, nobody in the White House through all our history has done more for people of faith than President Donald Trump. It's one of the reasons why I keep the photo of the 45th president here in our studios, because I say, look, if he weren't in the position that he had as our president, we wouldn't be here in the position that we are, able to carry out this ministry. And many ministries and churches can say the same thing, because he averted so many disastrous mandates and restrictive policies from the Democrat Party that hinder the work of faith, that hinder the work of the church. President Trump made it clear that he considers faith leaders to be the most respected people in America, and we are grateful for that vote of confidence. He has said publicly many times, we want our fellow citizens to hear what the faith leaders have to say. Now, we know that that's true. All of us, I think with few exceptions, gathered here for these programs, we go to church regularly. We want to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. And we want that preaching to be strong and clear. If we're just going to be there to just, you know, hear our own ideas, and you know, we could stay home and think about our own ideas. We want to be challenged. And we want to hear the clear preaching of the Word of God as it is. And we want to hear it preached in such a way that, as Martin Luther King Jr. said on the night before he was assassinated, it reflects a relevant ministry, that we're not just talking about the New Jerusalem, we're talking about the New New York and the New Los Angeles and the new fill in the blank, whatever city or town you live in. That's what God's preacher has to talk about. How do we make life new for people here and now? And the ability to do that requires the freedom to speak about politics. Now, I've talked to you on this program before, and the other day when I had the privilege, as I say, of being on the phone with President Trump, he brought it up again, this Johnson Amendment that he has taken aim at from before he was first elected as president during his first campaign. He took aim at the Johnson Amendment, and we at Priests for Life have been doing the same thing. In fact, in the very year, in 2015, in the year when Donald Trump first announced his run for the presidency, I had a book published that year in which I went, in fact, it's this book right here, Abolishing Abortion, in which I went into in great detail about the Johnson Amendment and about the limitations that it unfairly and I believe unconstitutionally places on the churches to speak their mind. And this, again, you know, President Donald Trump speaks his mind, right? He speaks his mind in a way that commands the conversation. Some people say, oh, well, you know, sometimes he's too rough. Listen, he knows exactly what he's doing. It's when you're a little bit rough and you're a little straightforward and you don't beat around the bush that you get people's attention and you get your message across. You don't just participate in the conversation. You define the conversation. He has the ability to do that. And that's how you advance the ball down the court on any issue or on any public debate. You've got to take control of the conversation and lead it in the direction that it needs to go in order to resolve the problems that we need to resolve. You know, I mean, we could use a few strong tweets these days coming from the White House. You know, all we're getting is weak and confused. I don't know if you can even call it messaging. It's just a disaster. So what we have here in President Trump is somebody who clearly speaks his mind. Well, he wants people of faith and leaders of faith, like the clergy, to be able to do exactly the same thing. Why? Not just to make ourselves feel good, but for the good of America. America was founded not only by the light of the rocket's red glare, as we sing in the Star-Spangled Banner, but the pulpit's red glare, the clear, strong preaching coming from the churches, teaching the word of God and applying it to political realities, because it's where we live our lives. That's a key aspect of our lives. We live in a nation. We're citizens. Politics affects us. So why shouldn't we be able to speak about it? Now, in this book, I point out how this Johnson Amendment, it literally just a sentence in the tax code that says that tax-exempt organizations may not intervene in political races. Okay, that's it in a nutshell. But it doesn't define its terms. Whom does it consider a political candidate? What does it consider to be intervention? What does this mean? And ever since this was put into the tax code, not that long ago, really, it was 1954, and it was done, by the way, for personal political motives on the part of Lyndon Johnson, who was in a close race, a close Senate race, and he wanted to try to silence his political opponents. That's what this was all about. It was a personal motivation. For that reason, it should have never gotten into the law in the first place. And it was, ever since then, it has caused confusion and has, in fact, the evidence is he didn't even intend it to apply to the churches. He was talking about 501c3 tax exempt entities. And even though the churches fall under that tax category as well, there was never any evidence that he intended it to apply to the churches. But churches have ended up largely censoring themselves out of fear of what the government might do because of this provision of the tax code. Well, this is where President Trump, and he reminded us the other day, has come out strong and clear. And by executive order, he obliterated the effect of this Johnson Amendment. And he rightly takes pride in that. He says, I came against this thing with a sledgehammer and said, look, the freedom of speech does not stop at the doors of the cathedral, the synagogue, or the mosque. So, but I, you know, my own experience is mostly in the Catholic community. Boy, have we got a problem where church leaders and, you know, our Catholic community is organized in dioceses and various geographical regions. These dioceses, my goodness, they take the Johnson Amendment and they elevate it into a dogma. I'm not exaggerating. They take it as though it's this ironclad, black and white, apocalyptic prohibition that if you so much as hint at violating it, the sky's going to fall. I'm telling you, I'm going to read you some quotes. They're in my book, Abolishing Abortion. You can get it at abolishingabortion.com. I'm telling you, the church leaders that do this and their attorneys and their bureaucrats that are sending out this nonsense to the clergy and to the pastors, you got to stop. First of all, because you're behind the times. President Trump has, you know, by his executive order, he put a stop to this nonsense. Now, of course, you know, we see what the Democrats don't have any respect for religious freedom. So we've got to constantly be exposing them on this. But you got to stop. You got to stop putting a muzzle on the clergy. Even if you're afraid that there's going to be government retribution, except that there never has been, churches have never lost their tax-exempt status. These bureaucrats go around, oh, you're going to lose your tax-exempt status if you talk about politics. Would you please stop saying that? Oh, you're going to lose your church's tax-exempt status if you talk about politics. Stop it. That's not going to happen. It never has happened. It never has happened that a church has lost its tax-exempt status. Oh, yes, we know groups have been persecuted. Yeah, we're among them. Groups have been persecuted in the past under IRS bureaucrats. We know the battle that we're in. But I'm talking specifically here about the freedom of the pulpit, the freedom of the church. We have got to stop muzzling ourselves. If somebody in a Democrat administration wants to come against us and try to silence us, let them try. But the point is, we got to stop silencing ourselves. And that's the point I'm making here, that by our interpretation of these inherently vague and, as I said before, unconstitutional provisions of the law, we are made to feel like we can't say anything about politics. This is ridiculous. So listen to this. This is from a memo from one of these Catholic dioceses going out to their churches. They say, it is clearly the policy of the diocese that neither it nor its employees will engage in any political activity which seeks to support or discredit any political party or candidate. Each incorporated parish would be wise to adopt this or similar policy to avoid placing its tax-exempt status at risk. You fools. Your tax-exempt status is not at risk. Okay? It's not at risk. Stop going around like little children saying the sky is falling. Stop it. Furthermore, let me ask you this question. What in the world does it mean to support or discredit any political party or candidate? Neither support nor discredit any political party or candidate. What does that mean? Are you saying that no matter what that party stands for, you have to be neutral? Is that what you're trying to say? That party can support, like we see right now the Democrat Party doing. Pelosi is having the House consider now this bill that would take away every restriction on abortion. Right up until birth, tear the babies apart. tear their arms off, tear their legs off, crush their heads, throw them in the garbage. No matter what a political party stands for, and the Democrat Party stands for unrestricted abortion, no matter what a political party wants to do, or let them try to silence the church, we're supposed to be neutral. Don't discredit them. How would you discredit a political party? Maybe by saying something like they stand for unrestricted abortion? So in other words, I'm not supposed to say that? Because after all, that would discredit the Democrat Party. Joe Biden, again, for unrestricted abortion. I'm not supposed to point that out? Because that would discredit him? How about him discrediting himself? You know, we can't go along with this garbage you got to be quiet. You got to be quiet or otherwise you're going to lose your tax exempt status. And the last time a church lost its tax exempt status for criticizing a political party or candidate was exactly when? What was the date? What was the case? Tell me. It doesn't exist. Let me go on to another example here. I'm only going to give a couple because we can go on this all night. And it's one example more ridiculous than the next. Catholic, or listen to this, again, a policy directive from one of these dioceses. Catholic organizations may educate voters about the issues. Oh, thank you very much. In addition, they may provide neutral educational forums or information, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, good. Now listen to this. Indeed, it is the church's right and obligation to make its teachings on moral issues known. Sounds pretty good so far, but that's not the end of the sentence. They have a comma, not a period, and then the sentence goes on to say, as long as these teachings do not run afoul of the rules on political activity. Okay, so if you go to the conclusion of Matthew's gospel and you see Jesus speaking to his apostles before he ascends into heaven and giving them the great commission to preach the gospel to the ends of the earth, do you think Jesus Christ said to those apostles, go and preach my gospel, as long as it doesn't run afoul of the rules on political activity? But that's exactly what this diocese is saying. The church has the duty to proclaim her moral teachings. Where does that duty come from? Where does it come from? Who gave us that duty? The IRS? Where did we get that duty? Some government bureaucrat? Oh yes, go proclaim your moral teachings because the IRS said it was okay. This is garbage, brothers and sisters. It's garbage. We have the duty to proclaim the moral teachings of the church because of Jesus Christ and his great commission, preach the gospel to every creature. And we have presidents like Donald Trump who have echoed that and said, we want to hear what you have to say. And then we've got these bureaucratic fools saying, oh yes, but don't run afoul of the rules on political activity. Rules coming from whom? So you're going to let a government bureaucrat veto the commission of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, teach the nations to carry out everything I have commanded you. Well, that's what we do when we say to a government, hey, you can't allow the killing of babies by abortion. You can't restrict the freedom of the church. You can't restrict parents, for example, in what school they want to send their child to. And we can go on and on with all different kinds of freedoms that political parties and candidates interfere with all the time. Well, you see what I'm saying. I mean, these directives are absolutely absurd. Listen to this one. Here's another directive coming from actually from the Catholic Bishops Conference altogether. Impermissible activity. Okay, here they go issuing their edicts. Impermissible activity. Listen to this. And ask yourself, how are you supposed to follow a directive like this? Do not even appear to endorse or oppose particular candidates for public office or political parties. May I ask you, how are you supposed to not appear to be doing something? I mean, I can understand it if you want to say, do not get up into the pulpit and say, I endorse the Republican Party, or I endorse the Democrat Party. You cannot say they make a formal endorsement. Okay, but that has a little bit more clarity. At least you know when you've done it and when you haven't done it. But how can you command somebody not to appear to do something? So I get up into the pulpit and I say, brothers and sisters, election time is coming, and we've got a major issue of abortion in our country, and we have an opportunity to protect millions of babies by electing those who are willing to protect those children and to secure what is the most fundamental right that we have, the right to life. Again, just using abortion as an issue, which is one example, but it's the most fundamental issue. And then somebody in the parish says, maybe they're a Democrat loyalist, and they say, well, why, Father, why are you being so political? Well, what do you mean, being political? I wasn't political. I said we have to protect babies. Oh, no, but they're going to hear it as political, and they're going to hear it as what? A criticism of the Democrat Party and an endorsement of the Republican Party. Even though I didn't say Democrat and didn't say Republican, and you know what? They're not entirely wrong. They see where this is going in practice, because if you say we have to protect these babies, and if you have one political party saying exactly the same thing, and you have the other political party saying exactly the opposite, how are you not going to appear to be endorsing one party and opposing the other? How do you follow this advice? Do not appear to endorse or favor one political party or another when you're talking about a basic moral issue on which the parties take diametrically opposite positions. In other words, the only way to follow ridiculous advice like this is to be silent about the gospel. Is that what these bishops want us to do? I'm asking the serious question. Is that what these bishops want us to do? They want us to be silent about the gospel. Because after all, when a political party is taking a position completely contrary to the gospel, you know what that means? That means if I preach the gospel, I'm going to seem to oppose that party. Well, I'll tell you proudly, I do. I do oppose that party. But it's not because I stand on the platform of the other party. It's because I stand on the platform of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's where the church always has to stand, and the church can't stop talking just because politicians are talking. One more example. And this is really a doozy. And you tell me how you interpret this. So this one diocese says, look, we can't distribute. We can't allow the distribution of materials from other groups. And sometimes they take aim specifically at us at Priests for Life, because we produce some pretty good educational material about voting, right? And we offer it to the churches free of charge, by the way. And people distribute it, right? And they get all nervous because it's coming from an outside organization. How we're outside is a whole other question I go into in this book, whatever outside means. But listen to this. Acts of outside organization. They're concerned that the IRS now, okay, they have so much regard for the IRS. They're concerned that the IRS notes that acts of outside organizations will be attributed to the churches if they, the churches, listen to this, either explicitly or implicitly allow the leafleting to take place. Now, I can understand what it means if you explicitly allow the leafleting to take place. Explicitly allow means you say, okay. Somebody asks you, Pastor, can I hand out political flyers in the parking lot? I'll just put it on the people's cars. They can take it, they can read it, they can throw it away, whatever they want. Okay, I explicitly allow you to do it. I write you a note, I say, okay, you can do it. But what does implicitly allow mean? I mean, think about it. What does that even mean? I'm sitting in my rectory. citizens inspired to make a difference in politics, they go into the parking lot and they hand out information about the election. I don't even know that they're doing it. And they do it and they leave. And the next day, a member of the church complains, why did I get this political stuff on my car? And I didn't say anything about it. Did I implicitly allow it? I mean, doesn't this require mind reading? How did I allow it or did I oppose it? Nobody knows. I didn't say anything about it because maybe I didn't even know they were doing it. So to say to a pastor, you cannot implicitly allow other people, outside groups, you're not organizing it, you don't even know that they're going to do it, you can't implicitly allow them to do it. What are you trying to say? That you have to put up, you have to put armed guards out there and make sure that nobody leaflets the parking lot? Friends, this gets so ridiculous that it there aren't even any words to describe it anymore. We've got to put a stop to this. And the best way you and I put a stop to it, first of all, we have got to get a grasp on understanding what's going on here. And secondly, we've just got to get active in doing exactly the opposite of this timid, quiet, this acquiescence to oppression is really what it is. You can't speak about this. Shut up. Sit down and shut up. Oh, okay. We have to stand up and say, no, not okay. Because we've got important issues to resolve in this country. The churches have an important message to convey. Leaders like President Trump know how to lead, and they say to the faith leaders, we want to hear what you have to say. Well, friends, we've got to say it. No matter what, sometimes, you know, even despite what officials in our own church are saying, we can't give in to this kind of garbage. So let's pray. Let's pray for the freedom in the Spirit. Scripture says, I believed, therefore I spoke. The freedom in the Spirit to say what needs to be said. Father, we thank you for leaders like Donald Trump who, even in civil government, have given more inspiration to the churches and to the people of faith than some of their own religious leaders have done. So, Father, we ask you for clarity of mind that when the church has something to say about an issue, following the command of Jesus Christ to teach the gospel to all nations, to teach people to carry out what he has commanded us, Father, that we would obey that command, that we would speak our mind, to teach, to preach clearly, compassionately, consistently, and to tell our Christian people to go into the voting booth and there to vote as Christians. To defend life, to defend freedom, to defend family, to defend values. Father, we ask that any kind of muzzle that has been placed on the church by civil authority may be smashed. And we ask, Lord, for the total removal of the Johnson Amendment. We thank you for what President Trump has done to neutralize it. But Lord, we also ask that any muzzle that the church has placed upon herself be removed, and that we stop being so inspired by fear that we feel like we can't move a finger or say a word. No, enable us to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world of politics for the preservation of the rights of the human person and for the salvation of souls. We pray through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. May we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Action item for this show. get my book, abolishingabortion.com is the website for the book, abolishingabortion.com. And may God bless you. We at Priests for Life are praying for you. Connect with Right Side Broadcasting on social media at RSB Network and connect with me at Fr. Frank Pavone, like you see right there on the screen at Fr. Frank Pavone. We're on all the social platforms. Love to stay connected with you and know that we are praying for you each day. May the Lord bless you, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here. We'll talk to you next week.
We have Richard Lee, we have Jim Garlow, and we have Father Frank Pavone, someplace there in the audience, so I appreciate you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.